Returning to Matthew 28, we're up to verse 11. Matthew 28, we're reading verses 11 to 15. We were just singing about the sure reward for the righteous man. At the cross of Jesus Christ, they mocked him because he looked like someone who was receiving the judgment that falls upon the wicked. It was a great exchange that took place. And we see that exchange represented in the direction of two groups of people as we open our passage. The soldiers are going in one direction, and the women are going in another. The women are going to tell the disciples that Jesus has been raised from the dead. The soldiers go a different way. Why? We're about to find out. This is the word of God. Listen carefully. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The precious word of the living and the true God. It's foolish to stand against the living God when he demonstrates his great power. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. And we don't always think about that in terms of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ occurred, as we've already seen, offline. And yet the impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is seen in the scattering of his enemies. If the disciples have scattered, they were already scattered before the cross. The women are called upon to go and give them the message that they might be gathered again by the risen Christ. You see, that just emphasizes the difference. Some are scattered and left to their way, and others are gathered. And we need to see that happening in this passage. In verse 11, the word when is used. Now, when they were going. Who are they talking about? What is that verse talking about? It's talking about the women. It's talking about the women who were going, following the directions they were given by Jesus Christ himself, to go tell the brothers that they should go into Galilee and they will see the risen Christ. The women are going at this very same time as the disciples, as the soldiers are moving in an opposite direction. You see what's taking place. God's enemies are being scattered and his people are being gathered. And we see that happening when they were going. When the women are going, the soldiers are going in a different direction. And it's only some of them. Notice. Behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Now perhaps they were representatives. Perhaps others of the soldiers were doing their job in another place. Perhaps they were still fearful. But it's clear when we see that some of the soldiers went to the chief priest that they're being divided. That they're being separated. And some of them are speaking up on behalf of the soldiers as a whole because they're in trouble now. Because they have fallen down as though dead at the tomb that they were supposed to be guarding. They weren't exactly sleeping. That's going to be the story. But they weren't sleeping. They were quaking with fear. And they fell down before the angel of the Lord, and in light of this earthquake and the stone being rolled away. They fell down as though dead. That's what happened. And Jesus Christ was not in that tomb. But that's not the story that's going to be spun. So they go to the chief priest, and it's likely another example of why some people believe this is the temple guard, because they go to the chief priests. They're not going to Pilate, they're going to the chief priests. They'll mention that they're accountable to Pilate, and the chief priests will try to assure them later on, but they go, first of all, to the chief priests. They go to those who they believe can offer them the best opportunity to defend themselves. Because the soldiers, you see, should have been on watch. They should have been doing their job. And the idea that the tomb would be empty without the soldiers doing their job means that they are in trouble, especially in the Roman government. They could be put to death for this. It is a capital crime if it were to be presented to Pilate, and if Pilate were to push the news upward. In fact, if the story gets out of exactly what happened, they could be held accountable to the emperor anyway. These soldiers are in trouble. They've not only been quaking with fear in the presence of the angel of the Lord and the earthquake now, they are concerned about their lives. Not just their jobs, their lives. God's enemies are being scattered. Women have received the news. We don't even know if the women encountered the earthquake. They might not have. But they were given a message from the risen Christ that they should not be afraid. They were given the message that they should go tell his brothers that he's risen from the dead. God is dividing groups of people here. He is dividing these women and the disciples from the soldiers and the chief priests. You see that happening right in front of you. And this is what is taking place in a fallen world. This is what the power of the risen Christ continues to accomplish even today. This is what is happening in places like Haiti. This is what is happening in places like Upper Darby. This is what is happening in your neighborhood, maybe even in your own household. It's important that we recognize that we must come to God through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to him in the way that we were invited in Isaiah 55. Because the alternative is to be part of the group that stands against him and that is being scattered. The continued efforts of the enemies of God to stand against the truth are shown to be utterly foolish in this passage. There's a false conspiracy theory. There's a counter theory. There's hush money being offered. And it is offered in order to change the story. And those who are going to receive this money and those who offer the money are willing to bend the truth for the sake of gold and silver, for the sake of that amount of money that they were offered. How much money could be offered to you to deny that you know that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? To deny that you know that he is your Savior and he's the only one who can put you right before the Father in heaven. He's the only one that enables us to be made right with God. You see, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God has provided for us a way of salvation that enables us to receive what God offers completely free and without any money that can be offered. And you cannot buy that. So the alternative is to receive something that is lesser and reject something that is greater. And that's what's happening here. They have rejected the evidence that has been given to them, the soldiers who were there. They are rejecting the evidence for money. They go to the chief priests and they tell them all the things that were done. They don't see Jesus Christ inside the tomb being raised from the dead, but they see the angel of the Lord, they see the earthquake, they see the stone rolled off to the side. And they fall down, quaking with fear. They did not forget that they saw something that made them so afraid that they fell down as if they were dead. But they tell the chief priests what happened. And the chief priests, who said before that they wanted a guard posted so that they could prevent the disciples from stealing the body, that was what they said, are now coming up with the story that the disciples stole the body. You see how ironic that is? They are embracing the story that they said they tried to prevent. The event that they said didn't want to happen, now they're saying, happened. They assemble with the elders. The elders are taking counsel. Again, they have a quick meeting of the Sanhedrin. And they give a large amount of money to these soldiers. They pay them off. It's much money. In order to falsify the report of what happened. In order to provide an alternate story, a counter story. And this is what they want them to say. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, if you're in the area and you know anything about what happened at the cross of Jesus Christ, you know that his disciples ran away afraid. At least anybody who's close to the disciples knows that. They ran away afraid. It's kind of preposterous to think that these disciples who ran away afraid are now going to go and steal away the body while Roman soldiers are sleeping. And on top of that, if you're sleeping, how did you know that the disciples stole away the body? It's a preposterous story. It's a counter story that doesn't make any sense. But it's the story that enables the chief priests to try to explain away the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this happened right away. And it's happening today. There are people who will tell you that Jesus Christ just swooned inside that tomb, that he was temporarily unconscious because of all the blood loss, and that he revived, and that someone came in and helped him, and that he was saved. Then, you know, you have to explain away the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. He died. The Roman soldiers made sure that he died. And the Roman soldiers did not fall asleep on the job. They know that. They were quaking with fear, and they fell down as though they were dead. It's false. It's a preposterous story. It doesn't make any sense that the disciples could come at night and steal him away while they slept. Because then they wouldn't know that it was their disciples who stole the body. And they would not know what happened. And to try to get a body past sleeping Roman guards, tiptoeing, imagine that. Anybody who hears this story knows that there are holes in it. But that's the story. That's the story that they're going to create, because anything other than the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ will be acceptable to these pragmatic chief priests. If it works to improve our reputation with the people, that's all we think, we'll stick to it. So they're willing to bend the truth. The enemies of God. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. The soldiers still have a concern. Even if we spread this story, even if we tell other people that we were sleeping on the job, putting ourselves at risk, and the disciples stole the body, the governor is the one that we are ultimately accountable to. We are temple guard, but we are under the authority of the governor, Pilate. But the chief priests are pretty confident that they can get Pilate to do what they want, because they've already achieved something at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his trial. They've already accomplished the bending of Pilate to do what they want. It's just a matter of the amount of money that they offer him. So they say they're going to persuade him. But what they mean is, they're going to give him a large sum of money, larger than is given to the soldiers. And we will secure you. That's the protection these soldiers have now. A story that doesn't make much sense. A large sum of money offered to them, and the offer of a large sum of money given to Pilate. That's the protection they have. Versus the protection that the people of God have in this passage. The angel of the Lord, announcing the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ given to the disciples, a message that is going to change the world, that is going to be given throughout all the world. A message that we are going to find in the following verses is to go to every land. The message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the authority given to him, and the presence of the risen Christ with his people. And their story is going to be spread too. They took the money and did as they were taught. Notice, the teachers are teaching them to lie. They're teaching them to spread a false story. They're giving them a conspiracy theory to perpetuate. They're giving them a false commission. It stands against the Great Commission. People are moving in two different directions here. The enemies of God are spreading a false story that doesn't make any sense for money and for profit. And the people of God are being told not to fear because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And they are going to be given assurance after assurance that Christ has been risen. The people that he appeared to are listed for you in Acts, in 1 Corinthians 15. You have the privilege of reading how God provided testimony upon testimony of the risen Christ to counter this story. So people ultimately, at the end of the day, are going to believe whichever story they want to believe. And for the believer today, as we continue to rest in the risen Christ, we know that there continues to be a pattern of this world that expresses itself in quite the same way. As 1 Peter 2 and verse 12 puts it, first of all, we're told in verse 11 to be as strangers and aliens, abstaining from fleshly lusts which war against our soul. And then we're told to have our conversation or our life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You're being told that you will have people speaking against you as evildoers. Just like the disciples had people spreading the story that they came and stole the body of Jesus Christ. These fearful disciples stood against the Roman government and stole the body through a great subterfuge and went around some sleeping soldiers, tiptoeing their way, carrying the body. And it comes to pulled it off. They're being told that they did that, whereas the same soldiers took the money. The chief priests offered the money. The chief priests offered to bribe Pilate. Who's telling the truth? And when you have people who speak against you as evildoers, they are to see your good works and glorify God. How do those good works happen. Only if you rest in the risen Christ. Only if you follow the directions of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's given for you, that you might be right with God. Only if the Lord Jesus Christ inhabits you by means of the Spirit. Because left to ourselves, we follow the pattern of a world that thinks like this. If it works, if it benefits me, if it benefits my own, we'll take money for it. And that's the way the world thinks. There are huge corporations in this world right now that have taken money to say things to people in countries around the world that are not true. For money. And the Church of Jesus Christ is not owned by these people. The story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not owned by those who spread it. The conspiracy, the false witness, is part of the scattering of God's people. I mean, the scattering of God's enemies versus the gathering of God's people. You have the testimony of those who are eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. You have the Word of God assuring you that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And when you receive that knowledge, when you receive that truth, when you take it in, it changes your orientation towards hush money, false witness, conspiracies. Because those things are only attractive if you want to deny the truth. Those approaches to the resurrection of Jesus Christ only appeal to those who have already decided, I will not allow the risen Christ to rule over me. But the alternative is so much sweeter. It's so much clearer. It's so much of a benefit to the people who follow this Christ. What you are going to encounter as we read the remaining verses in this gospel over the next couple of weeks is a testimony of the risen Christ that he is with his people, that he has all authority in heaven and earth. A commission given by him has the benefit of his presence and his authority and his power. And if you are part of that, no alternative story to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is acceptable or fits. No alternative story will settle down in your mind and motivate your actions. Because it will rub against your knowledge of the truth. If you are offered money to deny the risen Christ, to deny that he was risen from the dead, to deny that you know him as your Savior, do you know what the right answer is? No amount of money could possibly cause me to do that. No amount of money. Because I would be giving away eternal blessings for earthly porridge.